What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, amen? It feels so different from being up here as I'm always down there and I'm always sitting in the back. But it's an absolute pleasure to stand before you today. And I just, I am just so blessed and moved. And Pastor Steve and Sister Vicki, I can't say enough. And we are just honored to be here. You know, I was thinking about, there's 52 Sundays in a year. So this church is over 100 years old, I believe, I've been told. So if we just took this sanctuary and put it 100 years, we're talking over 5,000 services on a Sunday morning. And I began to think and I began to meditate on that a little bit and thinking about all the different maybe revivals or weddings, funerals. How many tears were shed? Prayer requests. How many people were healed, restored? How many marriages came back together? So with Pastor Steve, I just want to say thank you for allowing me the time to step up here to the plate. It's kind of difficult when the pastor and his wife are on vacation and you're called to speak, because I've been there in the audience and you're thinking, man, when's this guy going to hurry up and shut up so I can go home? And but I'll be here just for a few minutes. I won't be too long, but I'm going to start off with you this morning and with a scripture from Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set liberty of those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you. Even though my knees are trembling and my lips are dry, I ask you would speak through me. Let the words of my heart, meditation of, Lord, let my words speak, Lord Jesus, the words that you want me to speak, the words of my heart, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto you. God, there's so many requests in this place. There's so many prayers that need to be answered. But we invite your Holy Spirit to be in this place, to speak to us, Lord. I ask you to speak to me so I can speak to others. Lord, you know I don't do this, and I have told you many times I'm not doing this, but I'm doing it today, and I'm honored to do this. And I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little bit of history about who I am. I'm the guy that walked in here back in December. I came in here when the carpet was blue and the walls were white, and behind the cross was white brick. Things have changed since then, and how beautiful it is. I don't know if you guys like it or not. I like it. It's beautiful. The carpet's beautifully brown, and the walls are a little tinted, and these stones up here are amazing. I'm from this area, and my wife Terry is here, and she's from this area. She grew up in the Kempsville part of town, and I grew up in the Bayside part of town. She went to Norfolk Christian Academy, and I went to Bayside High School, and when I graduated from there, I could barely read and write, and I'm very serious about it. I'm not bragging about that. It took me many years to get through that, and I'm honored that I got through that. It took me 30-some years to get my degree. Probably took me 6 years just to get a four-year degree, and I can remember a teacher coming in and talking to me when I was like in 11th grade, said, didn't anybody ever teach you anything? I mean, I could play ball, and I could do the athletic side of things, but to study in part, taking exams, I could barely read and write. And I just, I'm overwhelmed to speak on this particular topic today that I'm going to be talking about. And this hit me a couple of weeks ago. It was Father's Day, actually. And Terry had come in and said, hey, you know, happy Father's Day. You can do anything you want to do today. And I thought, okay, that's great. You know, maybe I'll go fishing. You know, it is Sunday. I'll go to church. But then she reminded me a couple more times that it was Sunday and she was going to go to church, but I could do anything I wanted to do. So the temptation about getting on a boat made me want to wander off and maybe be by myself. But I decided to come. And I wasn't mad, I wasn't dragging my feet, other than the fact I was thinking more like being on the river. I don't know if any of y'all have been like that, thinking that maybe you want to be someplace. You might be thinking about that now. I'd rather be someplace else than sit here in this congregation. But I came. And how I was touched, because there was a 93-year-old woman that greeted me. Her Bible was in her arms, beautiful smile, reached out to me, shook my hand, and I shook her hand, but I was sitting down. I was starting to thinking, you know, what exactly is she here for? I mean, she's 93. She happens to be Terry's former mother-in-law. She's a widow. But she decided to get up and go to church, just like you guys did here this morning. And what a blessing it was. And then I turned to the gentleman to my left, and he was a young Marine who drove here almost, took him about an hour to get here. He was reassigned up there at Yorktown. And I thought, man, I said, hey, Isaac, good to see you. I'm glad you're here. He said, me too. With such enthusiasm, it kind of knocked me off my feet because, you know, I felt nothing but joy and love when we walked in those doors back in December. Terry and I both have been greeted with such love from this congregation and from Pastor Steve and Sister Vicky. It's been overwhelming. But I wanted to talk a little bit about these two people that just blessed me so much. And they're just ordinary people. And that's what today's message is. God uses ordinary people. And you might be sitting there thinking, wow, that's a no-brainer, Jeff. You mean after all those years of school, or that's all you can come up with is God uses ordinary people? Terry is rolling her eyes, I'm sure. She says, ordinary? You're not ordinary, you're weird. She always calls me weird. But I'd like to jump right into the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I'm sorry I don't have anything on the back of the billboard, so I'm just going to read some scriptures off and talk about it. Chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and all the prophets, who through their faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness and were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the flight armies of the aliens. Ordinary people. You might be here today and I'd like for you to just have your mind wander and think about the ordinary person in the book, in the Bible, that God rearranged and changed, created something extraordinary out of something ordinary. I mean, it's a pretty simple process because everywhere we read, something happened in someone's life. And something happened, I'm sure, in your life, something extraordinary over time and over the years. There's a song by Danny Bell Hall, who wrote this, and I didn't know exactly what the words were, but when I met and was greeted on Father's Day, and this ordinary people thing was ringing in my head like a bell, I thought of this song. And Terry knows that I don't sing, so I'm just going to speak the words. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are willing to do what he commands. God uses people that will give them all. No matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Just ordinary people. My God uses ordinary people. And the lyrics go on, they roll around. And then she says this, and I had no idea. I had zero idea, because I'm going to be talking about this particular person in a minute. Because the little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. What you may not seem much, but you've yielded to touch the Master's loving hand. Yes, you know you understand how your life could never be the same. You know, I was just, when I read that, I was a little bit blown away because I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me about ordinary people, and I was wrestling a little bit with that. And in the last few weeks, I had the privilege to sit down and have breakfast with an ordinary guy who lost his father from suicide, lost his sister to drug overdose, lost his other brother to drug overdose after he killed his wife. But this guy decided to do something different. He opened up a halfway house in Alabama. And what an honor it was to sit across the table as he shared his story with me. God took an ordinary man who has gone through a lot in life and made him an extraordinary person, a blessing, a bridge to the other side. And I just was so moved by that. This morning, we're going to look at three people that came to my mind, and one of them out of the gate was Gideon. If you have your Bible with you, this morning, if you could turn to Judges chapter 6, we're going to read through verse 16. And this is a great story. It's a very similar story, I think, to Moses, in a sense, because it's amazing how God takes an ordinary guy like Gideon and changes things. And I won't read all of it, but I'll start off at the get-go. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel's sown Midianites would come up, the Machlites, and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither the sheep or the ox or the donkeys. It's an amazing moment in history. And it's almost like we're starting to see that in our country, where how things are beginning to happen. Things, we turned away and all of a sudden things are happening. Verse 11, it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the timbereth tree, which was Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ezbarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. What he was doing, he was taking what he had, what he worked for, he was hiding it. I bet if you walked up to Gideon and asked him how he was doing, he might say, same old, same old. That's a slogan I really have a tough time listening to at times, because I know sometimes we all encounter that same old, same old. What's happening, man? What's going on, man? Same old, same old. You know, we work hard, we store this stuff up, and these Midianites, they come over there and they steal everything. Or I work hard, and then taxes come and it takes all of my money. Same old, same old. But something supernatural happens to this ordinary man. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, you're a mighty man of valor. I know that many of us are sitting here today, we're not thinking we're anything. Mighty man of valor, what are you talking about? That's exactly what Gideon says to him. What are you talking about? Gideon said, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Do we say that as believers? Lord, where's all these miracles? What's going on over here? I work hard. I save a little bit. And I got to give it away. What's the deal? Something happens. the angel of the Lord listened to him, which I think is wonderful, because I think that we can make our requests to God and he'll listen. The Lord turned to him and said, go into this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So Gideon says this to him. He says, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The least. You might be here today, and you might think that you're the least in your father's house. You might have been the last born. Child number 1, 2, and 3 got it all, and you got nothing. You might have had relationships that have failed, and you think you got nothing. God takes this man, this ordinary guy that's hiding his wheat, and he does something extraordinary. It's a fascinating moment in this man's life where things are beginning to turn around. God does that. He makes him a gladiator. And the story goes on throughout the rest of the chapters. They overcome the Mennonites. They overcome them. But I want to know how many people have wandered in here today that feel like maybe you got nothing. Things have been stolen from you. You know, years ago, I was going through some counseling with a pastor who's a friend of mine. I went to him. And I said, man, I'm in a desperate place. It's the same old moment. He said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go on a missions trip. So I didn't have any money, so I reached out to a friend of mine, happened to be a businessman. He said, hey, I'm going on this mission trip. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the whole thing. He said, well, I'm taking my daughter. She's 13. I'm going to take her with me. I think it's a great idea. I'll write the check. The check never came. But I knew in my heart that I was supposed to go on this trip. I never forget calling Virginia Power, because Virginia Power had sent me a letter and said, we're going to turn off your power on a certain date, and it was the date that I was going to be gone. And lo and behold, I did everything I could to negotiate with this lady on the phone. She was just determined to turn off my power while I was going to be in New Mexico. I was robbing Peter to pay Paul to pay for the trip, the money that I didn't have. And I was so desperate, at the end of my conversation, I'll never forget it. I said to her, I said, ma'am, I feel like I'm supposed to do this for the Lord. And I never forgotten it. She says to me this, she says, if you feel like you're doing this for the Lord, we'll give you that extension. When I went, I spent 2.5 weeks in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. I was broken. I was concerned. I was confused. I've been a believer a long time. Lo and behold, how God uses ordinary people, just like God used that woman to tell me if I'm going to go on this trip, for me to go, that she would extend it. I found myself away in the desert, just literally weeping before God, saying, Lord, I turn this away. I can't handle what I'm about ready to face. I was having massive marital issues. My family was being pulled apart. After 2.5 weeks, I was a security guy there. I was a police officer of the city of Virginia Beach, and that's my background. So I was there and doing the security deal, and we sang a song for all the Navajo Indians that we had served in that time frame. I'll never forget, as long as I live, we got together and we stood up in front of this group and we sang songs. I stood in the back because, you know, I had nothing to give. Nothing. I felt that I had nothing. As we dismissed the crowd and I began to pack the stuff up, this woman comes up to me with her older grandmother. She says, Sir, my grandmother has a request. Her grandmother didn't speak any English, nothing. I couldn't believe it. So we're talking, and I'm in America. Spoke Navajo, and she asked for prayer for her grandson who was in jail. You picked me out of 50-some people? Me? How, you don't even know who I am. And of all things, I'm a cop. Maybe I put your grandson in jail, which I didn't. I was in New Mexico. My heart wasn't lined. It wasn't really right. So we prayed. But I believe God used that woman to come out and to pick me, to say, listen, if you have an ounce of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he's anointed you to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted. I had a drip of an eyedropper left. But you see, Christ can do something with that drip. As a song said about that lad that fed the thousands, isn't it amazing that God used a kid to do that? And I'm not picking on any kids or any children, but it's a great story where a group of people had decided to follow Jesus. They were looking for hope. It's in the book of John, the chapter is sixth chapter. It's a great story. It's documented a few times. People were wandering from afar to hear the sound of Jesus of hope. They've been desperate. Some may have been crippled. There's a sound. We got to go here. We got to go to hear this man. There's something there. So they begin to follow. And then all of a sudden, his disciples say, hey, we got a problem here. We have no food. What do you mean we got no food? We got nothing. What does nothing mean in India? Well, I've been to India on mission trips. Nothing in India means nothing. We got nothing. But you see, they had something. And Jesus said, what do you got? Well, we got this young boy here that's got a couple of fish and three loaves. And I can imagine Jesus and underneath his brow or his eyes just smiling. Oh, is that what he's got? Bring him up here. Let's see it. So Jesus had all the people sit down and he gave thanks. You might be coming in here today and you have a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't know what that little bit is. Could be money, could be time, could be anything. I don't know. But you think it's only a little bit, so I can't give. And if I give, I am not going to have anything. Jesus took those loaves, and everyone was fed. Not only fed, the scripture tells us they had all that they wanted. All that they wanted. The Spirit of the Lord came in to that place. The oppressed were set free. But this is all I got, Jeff. Don't you understand? I've worked hard. I got it. I have all that. All I have is a little bit. Oh, it's okay. God can multiply and work in wonders like you've never seen before. I've seen it. He said that he opened it up, they brought back baskets that were left over. Could you imagine that kid? It doesn't say that his parents were there. Maybe his parents were there. But could you imagine for a moment the mother said, listen, Johnny, I'm going to give you three loaves of, I'm going to give you some bread here, I'm going to give you some fish, five loaves of bread, a couple of fish, three fish, two fish. I took it from your father's lunch pail, so make sure you eat it. Don't waste it. I know you don't like fish, but you're going to eat fish because it's all we got. On and on and on and on the story goes. I don't know, I'm rambling it on my head. And could you imagine seeing the kid coming down the hill? And she might be out there, what are you doing? I got all this left over. Where'd you get that from? Did you steal that? Did you take that from? No, I didn't. I was there. And this man, he laid hands in the blessing. And could you imagine for a moment that the fish was cooked? Come on, you gotta be kidding. They ate it. I don't think they ate raw fish. The taste. They're sitting there underneath the tree going, man, what is this? They devoured it. And they had all that they wanted. Lastly, we'll talk about this other person. But God did an extraordinary thing with an ordinary young boy. Extraordinary. And God could do the same for you. And he has done for me. Let's go to Mark 15. If you're doing this, this is another great story. I love the Bible because it has so many stories. I'm a man that's been through a lot of, experienced a lot of things. Terry will roll her eyes. Oh no, not another story, not another story. But I have a list of stories. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say this. I do come from a family of pastors. So I was raised on stories my whole life. Hey, listen to this story. Hey, listen to this story. So I just, but this is a fascinating story where God uses a man. They had just clothed him in purple and twisted crown of thorns and put it on his head. I'm reading on the 17th verse, Mark 15. They just got through pulverizing Christ, beating him. It's hard for me to talk about because I've seen some pretty graphic sights. And for what they did to our God, they beat him viciously. But look what happens. Verse 20, and when they mocked him, they took the purple off him and put on a crown of clothes and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon the Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. God didn't send an angel. He sent a man to pick up his cross. Think about that. That's really strong. He's just passing by. Wonder what he was thinking. Wonder if he saw the crowd. Said, you know, I'm just want to wander over here. You might have come in here today and just passing by. You didn't plan on being here long. You're going to check in, check out. I happened to be one of those guys. I had passed by this church 1,000 times. And I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit led me through that door. I was just passing by, man. It says he was compelled. It doesn't say he was beaten. Could have been compelled. Hey, you know, this is the guy. This is the guy, Fred, that healed your dad. This is a guy that, when your uncle, he was blind and he made whole. I don't know what went on there. What kind of compelling? What kind of reminder did they give this guy? But I know that he was passing by. And I do know in our lives that we have people passing by our lives, that we need to help them pick up the cross. People all around us. We had prayer for this man who I don't know, this guy on the railroad that was hurt in an accident. I was informed today, but Dave had told me, Mike had mentioned to me about this incident. We have neighbors. You know, you get somebody on the phone, sometimes you have to hurry up and get off because of all the problems, all the issues. And they're just family members. They're not even our neighbors. There's a cross that we could pick up. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, gave him strength. Could you imagine for a moment? I believe with all my heart, God looked at it with such a glee and such a smile. He mentions his name and the name of his children in the book. For what? So that you never forget. Never forget. Lastly, and I know some of you may think, oh, thank you. But lastly, you may be here today of age. You might have health issues. You might be stricken with, you've given everything in your past. You've done it all. You might have been a missionary, you might have been a pastor, you might have served in the church, but now you're that 93-year-old woman that I met a few weeks back coming in here. I happen to be with a friend of mine that has been diagnosed with a dire disease. He was the man I met in New Mexico. He says, Jeff, I can't even fix the toilet. I can't do anything. I'm totally dependent on others, my wife. But I want you to know something, Jeff. I pray for you every day. Every day. So if you're that person, and you're compelled with limitations, you can sit in a chair and cry out, Abba, Father. And I know that I have been the recipient of those prayers. I know I have felt those prayers because the Spirit of the Lord is upon this man to heal the brokenhearted, and that has been my heart. The Lord uses ordinary people. We're crying out today. Where is he? Where is he? It might be you. It might be me. He can do extraordinary things because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because he's anointed us. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of the sight of the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Let's pray. The worship team can come on up. I can't thank you enough for this opportunity, Pastor Steve, members. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I've done what you've asked me to do. Lord, I surrender. And Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to surrender to you, I pray that they will. But that they would say, Dear Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I surrender. For those of you that have served the Lord for many years, I ask that you would surrender, because he wants to give you more and more. He wants to give you strength to pick up a cross. He wants to give you something to give to others, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen.